Good morning, everyone. We're going to convene this morning's telecommunications regulation infrastructure division meeting. The first matter before us is House File 170. Representative Gardner. Representative Gardner, I'll move your House File 170 bill here. I think you were here last year in an informational meeting. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And why don't you go ahead with what you have?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for moving the bill. And I'd like to move my delete everything amendment, the 170 DE3.
I'll go ahead and...
I can do that right now.
Oh, okay. So. Gardner moves the minutes, or moves the delete on 170 DE3. Very good.
And, Mr. Chair, I have an oral amendment that I think would address a question that the PUC just raised in the morning, this morning, if I could insert that.
Go ahead.
On line 1.7, after the word directory in the period, or after the word directory and before the period, insert unless a customer requests delivery of a directory. Unless a customer requests delivery of a directory.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Ela,
can I make a suggestion? Maybe a comma before the word unless?
Is this the same?
Sounds great to me.
Thank you.
And you want to repeat that once more then, Representative Gardner?
Certainly. On line 1.7, between the word directory and the period, insert a comma and the phrase unless a customer requests delivery of a directory.
Very good. We have it before us.
Great. If we could adopt that amendment, then I can explain it, and we should be done pretty quick.
Very good. Mr. Gardner moves to adopt the amendment. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Delete all as amended is adopted.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 170, as it was originally drafted, would have required that telephone directory publishers give customers the opportunity to opt out with a fairly uniform way of doing that. I'm very pleased to say that because of legislation like this around the country, the Yellow Pages Association and their members have actually started employing a very robust voluntary system for people to be able to opt out of getting a Yellow Pages if that's what they choose to do. The problem to be addressed was that just a lot of people, particularly in the Twin Cities metro area, were getting four or five unsolicited Yellow Pages directories, and they were just getting really tired of it. However, in talking with the publishers, it was clear that we have some rules in place that actually require the delivery of a White Pages. And in the interest of, here, I'm playing to the one side here, cutting regulation.
Aye.
To cut a few lines of government regulation and to give consumers more choice, this bill would essentially ask the Public Utilities Commission to expedite rulemaking to get rid of that rule in three different places. But thanks to the input of the PUC this morning, the oral amendment to the amendment would just make sure that they are required to deliver a White Pages directory if a resident requests it. And I've talked to the Yellow Pages Association, and they're neutral. I would point out that there's nobody here from the Rich and Powerful White Pages Association.
Can we jump in here?
Please do.
Hello, Mr. Neutral. Chair. Yes, members of the committee, Nancy Hilden here on behalf of the Yellow Pages Association. We've worked with Representative Gardner over the past year. And this is just a great example of bringing up a problem and finding and really putting some effort into trying to find some voluntary ways to address that problem. Still not perfect, but we are working very hard at coming up with a good voluntary effort on the Yellow Pages front. And therefore, because this is now a White Pages proposal in front of you, the Yellow Pages is neutral.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, I should point out that this does not prohibit all deliveries of White Pages. As some people have said, well, gee, I really like my White Pages. And under this scenario, if your phone company chooses not to send out a blanket shipment of white pages to everybody. They're going to have to give you one if you request it. And the folks at Quest told me that they don't want to get a lot of phone complaints because it costs them money, so they would do their best in their case to actually notify their customers if they chose to go that path to make sure that they know how they can get one if they want one. I don't know if that made sense.
Representative Kiffmeyer?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just a quick question. I always get my white pages and yellow pages together.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, that's usually how it works, but we're kind of freeing up the private sector to sort of figure out the best way to serve their customers. So if they figure out that everybody really wants their white pages in Big Lake, I'm sure that they can listen to their customers. We're just getting rid of a regulation that requires that you get it, and they can figure out whether the customer really wants it or not.
Very good. Representative Mason?
I have two questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, so each company now would be probably sending us a letter or something asking if we want to get the directory. Is that what you're anticipating?
Mr. Chair, Representative Mason, a scenario I would imagine here is that if a phone company chose to not send out all of them at some point in an annual mailing or in their something that they would send you, either by email or website or delivering the white pages, they would just say, we're not planning to deliver white pages to every address. Okay. If you want one, here's the phone number to call, here's the website to go to.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's in their best interest to make sure that consumers know what their options are.
Okay. I think this is going to be interesting, but all right. I'm fine with that.
Joanne Johnson, I think, did you want to testify? Anybody in the audience wish to testify for or against the bill that we have before us? Any further questions, comments from legislators? Seeing none, Representative Gardner renews his motion that House file. I renew my motion that House file 170 as amended be recommended to pass to Commerce and Labor Committee. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the bill moves on to Commerce and Labor. Thank you, Representative Gardner. Thank you.
I'll be back.
I'd also like to move approval of the minutes from February 12th. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Minutes are approved.
Representative Johnson, you want to move your motion, House File 2639?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'll move House File 2639. And what I'd like to do is briefly explain the bill, and then I have a couple of testifiers who are going to testify to the bill and its importance. This bill, members, stems from a tragedy that occurred in Kansas, wherein it took an extended length of time, 4 days, and excessive wrangling to obtain cell phone location information about a missing young woman from a cell phone company. And as you look at the bill before you, the heart of the bill really is found in Section 2, Paragraph 8, where it speaks the notion that upon request of a law enforcement official, a cell phone provider, wireless telecommunication service provider, shall provide the call location information in an emergency situation involving risk of death or serious physical harm. The key point there is shall. Current law is covered by federal regulations from the FCC, and that entails the word may. So what this bill does is make it tougher than federal law and proceeds to require and use the word shall
to provide that caller location information. The following sections, as you look at the bill, note a couple things. One, that a cell phone company can't be sued if the company acts in good faith, and also that the BCA will collect contact information for all cell phone companies and disseminate information, that information, to law enforcement agencies, so they have that in hand. A couple things to keep in mind is that the only type of information disclosed is caller location information. We're not talking about call history or content. That's no way authorized in this bill. The main point, again, is the wording from may to shall, and we have had testimony yesterday from Chief Harrington of office here in St. Paul Police Department, strongly supporting this bill, and anticipate other law enforcement agencies would feel similarly. We're very fortunate members to have with us the parents of the young woman who was involved in the matter in the state of Kansas, the Smiths, and they're going to join me at the table and say a few words in support of this bill. Go ahead and I'll grab another chair.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First, I want to thank you for letting me speak today and for considering such an important piece of legislation. My name is Missy Smith. I am the mother of Kelsey. She is the young lady that was abducted from a Target store in Overland Park, Kansas on June 2, 2007, just 9 days after graduating from high school. Kelsey's body was recovered 4 days later. What does a parent go through when a child is missing? You don't eat because you don't know if your child is eating. You don't sleep because you don't know if your child is sleeping. What took so long to find Kelsey? One word, Verizon. Let me be perfectly clear. In no way do we hold them responsible for Kelsey's death. I do, however, believe she did not have to lie out in the woods waiting for us to find her for 4 days. I was on my way home from a wedding in Des Moines when our daughter Lindsay called me. She let me know Kelsey wasn't answering her phone and wasn't responding to text messages. I immediately knew something was wrong. My husband, Kelsey's siblings, and her boyfriend, John, continued to try and reach her, as did I for my last hour home. After I arrived home, John explained that his uncle used to work for Sprint and we could ping Kelsey's cell phone. Little did we know. It seemed simple enough, though. I called our cell phone provider and they explained they were unable to do that. They explained that I could get online, check her cell phone activity. We had already contacted the police and I believe had found Kelsey's car. I also know that Greg had contacted them and was told the same thing. I believe it was in July of 2007 we had a meeting with Verizon officials regarding what had occurred in Kelsey's case. It included the president of the Missouri-Kansas region and three lawyers. During that meeting, one of the lawyers basically said to us, we used the incorrect terminology when we spoke with them. We had used the word ping. Apparently that was terminology they did not use. I told them to go back, check their protocol, and figure out where they had failed Kelsey and us as a family that night. After several months of not hearing anything, I called Nancy Bates, an administrative assistant. I explained to her why I was calling. She had the unfortunate job of telling me, the lawyer said to tell me, their protocol was adequate. If their actions were adequate, I would hate to see what inadequate is. I can tell you this. If Verizon had acted in a more responsive manner, we would not be here today asking you for this legislation. I fully understand that no company can be perfect. I understand that employees are human and that mistakes will be made. I believe this legislation will reduce those errors. Danny Strigel, the president and chief executive officer of Verizon in October 2006, included a letter in the Verizon Wireless Code of Conduct, which would have been the protocol in place at the time of Kelsey's murder. I included a copy of this letter in my written testimony. In it, Mr. Strigel speaks of integrity going beyond laws and policies to include the spirit of doing the right thing. Unfortunately, Verizon did not act in the spirit of doing the right thing. In September of 2007, Tanya Ryder, Washington State, had been missing for 8 days. She was found alive, fortunately, at the bottom of a ravine in her wrecked vehicle. Verizon, her carrier, according to her husband on Larry King, was not helpful in locating her. Sheriff Rohr of the King County Sheriff's Office stated, and I quote, I also included this article for you to be able to read. I am still deeply troubled by the hurdles our investigators had to overcome and the ensuing time delays in getting cell phone records that ultimately led us to the location where Tanya was trapped in her car. There must be a more timely way for law enforcement agencies to get cell phone records pursuant to a missing persons case. Sheely believed that Mrs. Ryder could have been found 3.5 days earlier. This was just weeks after we had met with them. Mr. McDermott of Verizon brought it to my attention yesterday that Sheriff Rohr issued a press release thanking them for their help in this case. In this press release, Sheriff Rohr states that she hoped there would be a legislative fix to speed up the process. This bill does just that. There are many more stories just like these regarding cell phone providers not turning over critical information in a timely manner. Recently, again in Overland Park, another 18-year-old young lady, Keely Alia, a Sprint customer, was missing. Her body was discovered 6 days later. Some of the same police officers in Kelsey's case contacted Verizon to try and get cell phone locate information on one of the accused. Verizon representatives stated they did not understand what the police were asking for. The same officers, the same police department in Kelsey's case, they knew what they were asking for. In both cases, Kelsey and Keely, text messaging locate information was vital in recovering their bodies. Our youth are growing up with cell phone as a norm. Kids text, they don't talk. This was evident recently with our daughter Dakota's 4,671 text messages and only 15 talking minutes in 1 month. According to the 2009 CTIA Wireless Association figures, 135.2 billion text messages were sent monthly in the United States. There were nearly 277 million wireless customers. Over 20% of U.S. households are wireless only. All of them are potential victims that could be helped from this legislation. As my husband and I have traveled around the country and have met with different law enforcement agencies, we have found Verizon is not the only company that this type of situation occurs with. Police run into situations with almost every company, especially some of the smaller, less well-known. Law enforcement in Kansas supported the Kelsey Smith Act. Recently, I testified in Nebraska regarding this legislation. There, state troopers must get permission from the governor to testify before their legislators. They did that to testify in support of the bill. I truly believe this legislation will save a life. It will also save money. How much money was spent those 3 extra days of looking for Kelsey? How many man hours? How many young people and volunteers were invested in bringing her home? All the while, the technology to let us know where she was available. After Verizon finally did the right thing and sent an engineer to the tower that Kelsey's phone last made contact with, Kelsey's body was found in 45 minutes. According to C.S. Lewis, experience, that most brutal of teachers, but you learn. My God, do you learn. In 2007, there were 4,176 young people ages 17 to 24 murdered in the United States. How many of those victims had a cell phone? I personally knew one of them. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Smith, do you want to make comments?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning and speak to you about this legislation. As my wife stated in her testimony, the Kelsey Smith Act was signed into law in Kansas on April 17, 2009 by then-Governor Sebelius, and since that time it's been used twice by state law enforcement that I'm aware of, or at least agencies in our state that I'm aware of, with favorable results. The need for the law, to me, is self-evident. It's a no-brainer. In a climate right now of fiscal responsibility, everybody from the federal government down to the states is in a budget crunch. This bill is fiscally neutral. There is no cost to implement this legislation. It's simply common sense, which is hard to legislate. I can speak from the experience of, as a law enforcement veteran. I have 18 years experience as a police officer. I was a police officer when Kelsey went missing. This bill can, has, and will save lives. Time is of the absolute essence when a person goes missing. In an abduction case, If no credible lead is found within the first 48 hours, the chances of returning that person home safe and sound are almost zero. This bill can expedite a police investigation and give the police a huge jump start on that time clock. This bill has been introduced in Washington, D.C. by Representative Todd Tehart of Kansas. There it's known as H.R. 3803. It was co-sponsored by Representative Dennis Moore of Kansas. It's a bipartisan bill. Unfortunately, with the climate in Washington, it's stalled in committee, and I'm not looking for it to move anytime soon. When we first started this process of trying to get this law passed in our own state, we decided that probably the best route to take was state by state. Let each state decide if they want this protection for their citizens or not. And it's been met with very favorable results. As my wife said, she has been in Nebraska and testified there. It's in the last stages of the process, and we expect it to be approved as law by the end of the month. Hopefully Minnesota will follow suit and provide the same protection for its citizens. Lastly, I can speak from the perspective of a father whose daughter's gone missing. The agony of not knowing what's happened to your child for 4 days. I apologize.
Not a problem.
Because the refusal of a cell phone company to cooperate with a simple request to locate my child, cell phone, and then disregard a subpoena issued by the district attorney's office that could have alleviated days of anguish. It would have saved countless man hours of police time, as well as time of federal agencies that were involved, is absolutely inexcusable. My wife has said that it takes either lawsuits or legislation to make big corporations take notice, and I agree. I respectfully request this committee to pass HF 2639 out of committee so it can be heard by the House as a whole and passed into law. The people of Minnesota, and for that matter every state, deserve the protection this bill offers. Thank you very much, and we're willing to stand for questions.
Are there any questions? Is there anyone else that would like to testify on this bill? Okay. And again, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Excuse me, I see two people that do want to testify. Okay. Thank you very much for your comments. If you would please identify yourself and proceed.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Bob Bass, and I'm president of AT&T in Minnesota. And I'm here today to speak in support of House File 2639. As you've heard, this bill addresses the need for wireless companies like AT&T to provide information on caller location during life-threatening emergencies, specifically when they're using when the victim cannot call 911. AT&T has put in place a state-of-the-art system for responding to these requests for this location information of wireless customers. It's a system that balances the need to be responsive to law enforcement and to the families in finding these lost or missing people, but at the same time, we feel it balances the need to protect the privacy of customers. Currently, as Chairman Johnson had mentioned, we fall under what's known as the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, which is a federal act, and I'll read from that a short piece of that. It says that telecommunication carriers may provide such information to a governmental entity if the provider in good faith believes that an emergency involving danger of death or serious physical injury to the person requires disclosure without delay of information relating to that emergency. And as Chairman Johnson mentioned in his statement, as we understand the Minnesota bill, it takes that may language and makes it shall, which we're in support of. I can answer questions on what our process is if you'd like to know a little bit more about that. But real quickly, what we do is if you were to call us and your family member or friend and try and locate that person, service reps are trained to point you towards law enforcement. Law enforcement, they're experts at determining whether this is an emergency and the type of response that is needed. It's not that we don't want to provide that information, but this is part of our system. Law enforcement will then do their investigation. If they determine that something is amiss, and this is really something that falls under this emergency situation where it's threat of injury or death, They contact us, and we've reached out to law enforcement across the country. They have a number that we call. We operate our national locate center in Palm Beach, Florida, and they have that number. They call us and tell us they have a situation that's going to require search for a device. What we do is fax them a form. It's called an exigent circumstances form, where they describe the situation. Because what we're doing, as I mentioned, it's a balance. Because there's searches we do for law enforcement that are part of court orders, where they will come to us with either a pen, whether a wiretap or a pen register based on articulable or specific facts, or they may be using probable cause. Those are when they're tracking fugitives or somebody as part of an investigation that law enforcement conducts. So we have that piece of that, which those are non-emergency, that requires a judge's warrant. In these cases, these are that narrow, specific instance where we're talking about an emergency situation similar to what's been described here today. They fax that form to us, and we have a manager on site 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We operate this center in that fashion. They review that information to make sure that it falls under this particular scenario. If they aren't comfortable and they feel that this is something that it's more appropriate to have a judge's order and a warrant under those other pieces, then we do, and we have said, no, you need to go to a judge to get this order. Now, if it falls under this other piece of it, we act immediately. And I know that this sounds like a very cumbersome process, but it's a matter of minutes when we go through this. So it's not as though it's, you know, waiting hours. We go back to them a couple hours. It's very rapid, and it moves very quickly. Once we get that information with our technology, for those of you who are cell phone users, if you're one of our customers, right now, about every minute or two, your cell phone pings a site just on the other side of University. It'll ping another site over by the 94. It'll ping a site by XL Energy Center. And the reason why it does that is it wants to know where it's going to hand you off as you move around, because that's what makes a mobile phone mobile. And we have that information in our network, and we're able to locate. So getting back to the scenario where this is a situation where we are going to do a search on a device, our folks in our center will use that information, and we can triangulate your location within 50 to 100 meters. And so once we kick that off, we can find that site. If it's on, we can find that phone if it's on. What we also do as well is law enforcement many times will say, you know, if the person's curfew, you know, say they were at 10, they were supposed to be home at 10, and this process gets kicked off where they're trying to find the whereabouts from like 5 until, say, this or 10 o'clock and it's 5 o'clock in the morning, they may ask us to ping our, to look at our sites and see if there was activity from that device during that period of time as well. And we'll also provide that information if it's requested by law enforcement under this particular piece. But again, in summary, we're in support of this, and that's the end of my comments, and I'm here happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Are there any questions? None. Next testifier, please.
Good morning, Madam Chairperson, members of the committee. My name is Mike McDermott. I'm the Executive Director of State Public Policy for Verizon Wireless in the Midwest. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity to testify on this important legislation. I had the opportunity to have a conversation with the Smiths yesterday, where I expressed that as the father of a daughter and two sons and the brother of six sisters, my heartfelt condolences on their tragic loss of their daughter, Kelsey. And again, I offer that condolences, heartfelt condolences to them. Verizon's family also shares in their grief. I'm pleased to inform the committee that Verizon Wireless supports and endorses this important legislation. We further commit to working with the Smith family to pass similarly structured legislation in every state in which it's introduced. Verizon has a very strong working relationship with law enforcement. We work hard to keep them informed of our policies and procedures for all types of document procurement, including information that pertains to an emergency. Mrs. Smith referenced in her testimony a press release from the Sheriff of King County. I will share that press release and a letter of commendation that we received in the Time Rider case, and I thank Mrs. Smith for referencing that in her testimony. today. We have, similar to AT&T, a 24-hour, 365-day-a-year law enforcement response team, almost identical to how AT&T, if not identical to how they handle it. We have a staffed team that reviews these requests as they come in. They put exigent requests at the top of the queue and works with law enforcement to turn over records in a timely manner. And it's a process that we work on to educate law enforcement. We have a brochure that I'll share with the committee on the processes. I think this legislation actually goes to heighten the awareness for law enforcement that we have this team to know to call in an emergency situation. So I'm pleased that the legislation will have that effect as well. So I urge the committee to pass this bill, and I hope the House and Senate act quickly to get it to the governor as quickly as possible. If you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah.
Is there anyone else that wishes to testify?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Joe Bagnoli. I'm with the law firm McGrand Shea, and I'm here representing Sprint. And we too, Sprint as well, asked me to come today to indicate their support of this bill. We have a similar system that's been described. I frankly don't know it quite as well as in detail as the gentleman that preceded me, but I'm told that we have a very similar system in place for helping law enforcement in these sorts of situations. We would support the bill. Sprint is located in Overland, Kansas, where the Smiths are from, and I think helped work with them to get that passed in Kansas. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yep.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify? Representative Johnson renews his motion to that House File 2639 be recommended pass, and it will be referred to the Commerce and Labor Committee. Is there any discussion? Representative Kipmeyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, it's too bad the right thing couldn't have been done without the need of going to the point of having a law. And I think an example to companies, but on the other hand, when you realize we also are a litigious society at the lawsuits, that, you know, the issues of privacy and the protection. So it appears as though this is a necessary law. Looks like it's been structured in a way that expedites things with minimal intrusion. And I think I know all of us on the committee are so sorry. We all have families, and this could be our children the next time. And so I wish it could be done in a more universal way, but certainly Minnesota can be, the state could say that, yes, we do support this. Thank you.
Representative Depke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to express the same comments that Representative Kiffmeyer did, and we're very grateful that you are taking the opportunity to do this. I must ask the fiscal question. I know that Mr. Smith mentioned there was no fiscal ramifications on this. And if you could just confirm that, Chairman, that there is no fiscal problem with the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. I assume that the list of mobile phone providers is relatively small, so it doesn't seem to be an issue, but just confirm that for me, please.
Madam Chair, Representative Depke, I'm not aware of any fiscal implications.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other comments or questions? And again, to the motion on passing, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion is passed. And for the record, House File 2833 was pulled from the agenda today, so we are now adjourned.
Thank you, Madam.